Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody who is observing us online, via YouTube, via Facebook. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a new year to celebrate. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because he watched over us through the past year. And granted, we've all gone through some things, but thank God we're still here. Thank God his word is still being preached. Thanks God that he has made a way for us to hear his speakers, to hear his preachers, and to have his word go out. So be optimistic no matter where you are. As you watch this sermon, as you fellowship with us, be optimistic because the Lord is still in control. Amen. 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 This is the first Sunday of a new year. We are in January 2021. So this is, as it is with every first Sunday, this is our communion Sunday. Amen. Amen. So if you are at home watching, we ask that right now you would prepare your bread or your cracker and your juice so that we can participate in the communion together when the pastor comes out here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And what I'm going to start with is I'm going to read our scripture. So hopefully at home you are prepared, but if not, if you're not preparing, please stand up because we're going to read God's word. And then I'm going to call up Deaconess Helena, who's going to give us our confession of faith. And then Elder Ford's going to come up and he's going to pray over the sacraments. Amen. Amen. So our scripture, it comes from 1 Corinthians, amen, chapter 11. Verses 23 to 34. I have already told you what the Lord Jesus did on the night he was betrayed. And it came from the Lord himself. He took some bread in his hands. Then after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me." After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and said, "This is my blood, and with it God makes his new agreement with you. Drink this and remember me." The Lord meant that when you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you tell about his death until he comes. But if you eat the bread and drink the wine in a way that is worthy of the Lord, you sin against his body and blood. That is why you must examine the way you eat and drink. If you fail to understand that you are the body of the Lord, you will condemn yourselves by the way you eat and drink. That is why many of you are sick and weak, and why a lot of others have died. If we carefully judge ourselves, we won't be punished. That when the Lord judges and punishes us, he does it to keep us from being condemned with the rest of the world. My dear friends, you should wait until everyone gets there before you start eating. If you really are hungry, you can eat at home. Then you won't condemn yourselves when you meet together. After I arrive, I will instruct you about the other matters. Amen. Amen. So as Deaconess Helena comes up, let us acknowledge that we're going to stand and we're going to repeat the confession of faith. Amen. Because we want to have communion with a repentant heart.
Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you.
We confess that we have sinned against you.
In thought,
word,
and deed.
By what we have done,
and by what we have left undone.
And by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry.
And we humbly repent.
And we humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us.
Have mercy on us and forgive us.
That we may delight in your will.
We may delight in your will.
And walk in your ways.
Walk in your ways.
To the glory of your name.
To the glory of your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we're so grateful.
Thank you.
On this Lord's Day morning.
Thank you.
To be gathered together in this your sanctuary among your people. We are especially grateful this morning.
Thank you, O Lord.
For a new year.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Thank you for how you kept us. Through the year of 1920, we thank you how you preserved us and kept us through this pandemic and blessed us to be here on the first Sunday in January 1921. And we thank you too, Father, for the privilege granted to us together around the communion table one more time to commemorate the death and suffering of our Lord, the one that did it all for us back on Calvary, where he was wounded for our transgressions, where he was bruised for our iniquities, where he took the chastisement for our peace. And with his stripes, we were and are healed. And we thank you for it. And we pray this morning, Father, that you would consecrate us and consecrate the table, the elements that we have before us. May this grape juice be as his shed blood. May this bread be as his broken body. That as we partake, we will be mindful that we are partaking the body and blood of our Lord. This we pray in the name of your Son with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord.
So, good morning to everyone. Happy New Year to all. Let us go ahead and begin to get your bread or your wafer in your hand, whatever you may have. And with it, I say to you, as Christ said to his disciples, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. He gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat ye all of it." Now I'm going to the grape juice. Those here in the sanctuary, we're just pulling back that next layer. At home, you may have it in a cup or a glass. And Jesus took the cup of thanksgiving and lifting it up. He said, "This juice represents His shed blood, the new agreement, the new covenant between us and God. His shed blood, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink ye all of it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for your broken body. Thank you for being the propitiation for our sins, that through your great sacrifice, we are no longer far off from God, but have been brought near by your blood. Make us one with you, even as you are one with the Father. Help us to live and to walk worthy of the calling by which you have called us. This is our prayer. We ask it in your name, for your sake and your glory alone. And God's people said, amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated in the sanctuary. Thank you, Reverend Norm. Well, we thank God for another new year. Amen. We made it some way, somehow. Hook or crook, we stumbled our way into the new year, but we made it. And thank God for Bishop Ford and his prayer. And he said God has kept us from 1920 all the way up to 2020. Oh man, I said, look, I know we serve an awesome God now. Oh, but bless God. Bless God. God, he's kept us and he's brought us in to the new year. And so we thank God for it. And so what I want to do, just going to have just a short sermon to encourage you going into the new year. It's going to be found in the book of Nehemiah, the 9th chapter. We're only going to look after a couple verses. Nehemiah is in the Old Testament. Going to look at the 9th chapter. We're just going to look at the first 3 verses there. If you haven't, I am going to invite you to stand with me. Nehemiah 9:1. And there it says, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. It said, then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for 1/4 of the day. And for another 1/4, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Amen. And that is the word of the Lord. And so I'm just going to hang these few verses around this subject of, I just want to give you some suggestions for beginning the new year. Amen. You guys always accuse me of not being helpful. So this Sunday, I'm going to be a helpful pastor and I'm going to give you some suggestions. Actually, it's going to be 5 altogether. That if you implement, I believe will cause you to have a blessed new year. Amen? Maybe the Lord will keep you from 1920 to 2021. I'm not going to let my dad live that. I'm going to say that all the way home. I'm going to call him tomorrow and ask him, what year is it, Dad? I'm not going to let him live it down. No. Suggestions for beginning the new year. Our God and our Father, we look to you because there is no one else to whom we can look. You and you alone possess the words of eternal life. So we count it not a small thing to gather ourselves here in your sanctuary, to gather with our families around our televisions, our phones, laptops, tablets, and to give heed to the Word of God. If anybody can speak a word of life, a word of encouragement, and a word of hope, it is from the mouth of God. So even as the children of Israel gathered in the courtyard of the rebuilt Jerusalem and listened to the words from the book, so we today, your children, gather in the courtyard of the tabernacle and in our living rooms and in our bedrooms and our offices in front of our media devices, asking the same question. Is there any word from the Lord? Out of your word, Lord, give us suggestions for how we ought to begin the new year. We trust you to do it. We ask you to do it. In the name of your Son, the beloved Christ. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. For me, one of the best times for a biblical fast is at the beginning of a new year. For me, it helps me to prioritize and to put God first in my life. According to Ezra, the 8th chapter and verse 21, it says there that Ezra proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, and that we might afflict ourselves before God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Here, Ezra gives us an overview of the purpose for his calling of the fast. He said that we might afflict ourselves before God, meaning that he called for a fast so that he could repent, he along with his family and those that were of Israel, so that they could repent and humble themselves. One of the things you want to do coming into the new year is to not think too highly of yourself. But the Word of God encourages us to what? Think what? Humbly, right? And we don't want to come into this new year thinking that we have made it through last year of our own strength. And so a fast, by design, helps us to humble ourselves. Are you with me? He said, not only afflict ourselves before God, but to seek of him a right way. Right way. Here is divine guidance. The reason you have a fast is because you want or need divine guidance from God. And again, if you come in with a humble and meek attitude, you'll be willing to ask God for his guidance. Contrary, if you come through last year thinking you made it on your own and you navigated the challenging waters of 2020 on your own, you'll come in thinking you can do it again in 2021. But we know as believers, we need the wisdom of God. And the thing I love about God's wisdom, he said, if any man lacks wisdom, right? It's available. It's there for you. All you got to do what? Is ask, right? Because God will do what? God will give it liberally. I'm trying to help you start your new year. And I'm just, here's just one suggestion. Start your new year with a fast. Start the new year humbling yourself. Start the new year with the wisdom of God working for you. He said to seek of him a right way, which is divine judgment, for us and for our little ones. Wisdom not only for yourself, but wisdom for your family. Last year proved to us that more than at any other time, we need a plan, not just for ourselves, but we need a plan and we need a strategy for our family. No longer can we offload our family on the school district or on another support service. Or 2020 taught you, if nothing else, if you're going to do anything for yourself and for your family, you're going to have to do it what? Yourself, right? If you want your child to be learned, I know the school is online and all the information, all this stuff, but guess who was the teacher last year? Guess who was the principal last year? You follow? You were, right? And now that responsibility continues into 2021, increasing the reason why what? We need the wisdom of God. In 2020, you were the math teacher, the social study teacher. You were the gym instructor. You were the band leader. You follow what I'm saying? And it causes us to realize that, God, I need a strategy, not just for my life, but I need a strategy for my family's life as well. Look at somebody and say, you need a strategy. And there that we might afflict ourselves before God, seek of him a right way for us and our little ones and for all our substance. That means God wants to bless your possessions. God wants to bless and increase that which you have. You found, but you got to do what? You got to ask him for a strategy for it. You need a plan for it. You follow what I'm saying? And if you just start the year out with a fast by humbling yourself, seeking God's word, God's will, and God's way for your life, God will give you a strategy for you. He'll give you a strategy for your family, and he'll give you a strategy for your substance. Follow what I'm saying? And in that way, you can come out of the wilderness and go right into the promised land. Am I right about it? God wants to bless us, our families, and our possessions, but we must seek him first and foremost. Matthew 6:33 reminds us that we ought to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. But you have to seek God first. And so I want to encourage everyone listening this Sunday, begin the year with a fast. Begin the year with a fast. Start the year out humbling yourself. Start the year out seeking God's guidance. Start the year out asking God for a strategy for yourself, your family, and for your possessions. And God will do it for you. Start the year out with a fast. Now, most folks are asking, they say, Pastor, well, the beginning of the year, you always called the fast. And typically I have. But I'm going to try something different this year. Typically, when I call for a fast, very few people do it. And I'm going to tell you who the people who don't do it. The people who don't fast
are oftentimes the people who call me the most about what they can and can't include in the fast. Pastor, can I still eat peanut butter brittle during the fast? I don't know. Pastor, can I still have a latte? Just I won't have any cream. Oh my goodness. So I'm not calling for a fast. But I'm giving you suggestions for the new year. If you want to start your new year's out right, you start out with a fast. Some years I would call we fast for a week. Some year we do the Daniel fast. Some year we fast for a weekend. No matter what time frame I put on it, somebody was always trying to cut it in half. Well, Pastor, well, let's fast till Friday. Pastor, I got hungry on Wednesday. All right, let's just fast for a day. I have to eat lunch. Oh, my goodness. So I'm not putting any parameters on it. Whatever you want from God, you fast for it. And if fasting for a day can get it, fast for a day. If you think you need to go 3 days to get it, fast for 3 days. If you need to fast for a week to get it, fast for a week. Are you with me on that? So don't, please do not call me or email me. Any questions about the fast? Look, if you just want to fast from cereal, have at it, all right? You let your need for God to determine how you fast. Am I right? All right, good. I'm just giving you some suggestions. At the end of the day, you're going to do what you want to do anyway, right? All right, here we go. Verse 2, then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all the foreigners. And they stood, confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. When you really begin to dig into Nehemiah and look at this passage, actually what he's calling for here is it was a call for all of the men to divorce heathen or what we would call non-Israelite women. That's the reality of what he's calling for here. When he separated themselves from foreigners, not just separated, you know, if they had foreign slaves, but Israel against God's commands had begun to intermarry with other nations when God told them not to. All right. And so this is actually a call for them. It says separated themselves to divorce, non-Israelite women. Okay. So let me be clear. I am not telling or calling for you to divorce your companion. Don't put that on me. Cause if you divorce your companion, then you're going to be calling for counsel. But no, I'm not, this is not that. What I am saying is to look at this in a broader context is that God is calling all of us as believers to be separated from this world's culture. Okay? The reason why God told them not to marry other sons or daughters of other nations is because that type of intermingling with other cultures would eventually pull them away from God. That's the reason he told them. Said if you start marrying with them and intermingling with them, their culture and their traditions would soon pull you away from the one true God and then find yourself starting to worship and serve these other gods. And if you just read your Bible, that's exactly what happened. Right? They began to get pulled away. Now, so you have that within the context of marriage. And all I want to say is this Sunday is look at that a little bit broader. Is that as believers, we must be separated from this world's culture. Because if we don't, we will soon begin to serve other gods. Do you follow what I'm saying? 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separated, says the Lord.
says, touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. You will be, he said, and I will be a father to you and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In this passage where it says, touch not the unclean thing, the unclean thing that Paul is referring to is idols. Pagan symbolic gods. Idols. Whatever it's made to look like or be like. Our God is what? The one true God. Right? And so here in the Corinthians, Paul was calling them to be separated, right? If you understand the background and history on the book of Corinth, that was a carnal city. And everything that was going on in Corinth. And Paul was saying, hey, as believers, you gotta be separated from that. You follow what I'm saying? In like manner, we as believers here in 2021, if you're gonna have a shot at having a good new year, you gotta start the year by separating yourself from this world's culture. For believers, our allegiance is to God and our faith is in Jesus Christ. For the unbeliever, their allegiance is to Satan and their faith is in themselves. Am I right about it? You tell me if this is too heavy for a Sunday, especially a communion Sunday. For believers, our allegiance is to God and our faith is in Jesus Christ. For the unbeliever, their allegiance is to Satan and their faith is in themselves. Jesus said of the Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil. And his will you will do. He just laid it out there. That's what it is. Right? And so if we are believers and our allegiance is unto God and our faith is in Christ, he now calls us to separate ourselves unto God. A Christian or a believer should never be confused with an unbeliever. Not because of the way you dress, not because of the way you sing, not because of the car you drive or where you live, but our lifestyle should and must be different. You're going to start, if you want to have success in this new year, separate yourself from this world's culture. Jesus prays this in his high priestly prayer. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. It hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And if you dig into that, what he's talking about, evil meaning the evil one or the evil culture. Jesus said, I'm going to leave them in the world because there's still work to be done. The gospel still must be preached. I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want to leave them in the world. But Father, I need you to help them to be separated from the evil culture of the world I'm living them in. You follow what I'm saying? He says it again. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So another suggestion for starting out the new year, separate yourself from this world's culture. You follow me on that? Let's look at verse 3. And they stood up in their place, and they read from the book of the law of the Lord, was their God, for 1/4 of the day. And for another 1/4, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So they read, confessed, and worshiped. This succession of events helped to reestablish the essential commitment of Israel to God and His law. I encourage everyone listening to begin the new year by reading more of God's Word, confessing your sins more often, and worshiping God more frequently. I'm trying to be a helpful pastor this Sunday. I encourage everyone listening today to begin the new year by reading more of God's Word, confessing your sins more often, and worshiping God more frequently. We look at this text in verse 3. It says, "And they stood up in their place and read from the book for one fourth of the day, and for the other fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God." And so it starts out by saying they stood. So for all you guys who get mad for standing up at the Word of God, don't get mad at me. That's the way they did it then. That's the way we do it now. All right. He said they stood. And then they read from the book of the law, which for them were the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, is what they had of God's Word. They read from the book of the law for one fourth of the day. One fourth. If you just look at the daylight hours, some theologians divide the day, 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of nighttime. So one fourth of the day is for 3 hours. Now we have reduced church down to 59 minutes. And the Israelites stood for 3 hours and had the priest read from the book. You follow what I'm saying? Now, again, going back to this, divorcing yourself from this world's culture. 1 hour of Bible on Sunday is not going to undo 23 hours of Netflix, Hulu, Peacock, Disney Plus, Amazon Movie. You follow what I'm saying? The world we live in now, we're online what? All the time. We're streaming all the time. And if you're not careful, the enemy is going to woo you into this world's culture. And so again, if you want to start the new year out right, you've got to make some changes in the allocation of time given to the Word of God. You follow what I'm saying? Because 1 hour is not enough. I'm going further. The other thing that's implied here is that not only did they read from the book, but the Levites came and explained from the book. I'm going to prove it. We're in Nehemiah 9. I'm just going to go back one chapter, Nehemiah 8. And I want you to look at verses 7 and 8. Just go back one chapter. You probably don't even have to turn the page. We're in 9. Go back to 8. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. And this is all a continuation. This is all the same, all part of the same event. And I'm going to pick up on the second half of verse 7. It says, "And the Levites helped the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they," meaning the Levites, "gave sense and helped them to understand the reading." You follow what I'm saying? So we get to chapter 9. They don't repeat it again, but that's what the Levites were doing. There was a group of one of the Levites read the book of the law,
during that during the 3 hours, but also during that same period, the other Levites came and gave sense or understanding to what was being read. Do you follow what I'm saying? And look, very similar to what we're doing today, right? It is the preacher's job. We come and we read the word of God, right? We read the word of God because what? Faith cometh by what? That's why you got to read the word. Because when you utter the word of God, it has the ability to ignite faith in the hearer. So we read the word of God. But then we need a preacher or a teacher to come and to make sense or explain what we are hearing. Do you follow what I'm saying? So I can have faith, but now I gotta know who do I have faith in? All right. Well, a preacher comes along and helps explains that gives sense to it. Do you follow what I'm saying? And then it is the Holy Spirit who then comes behind the audible reading of the word, the teaching or the explanation of the preacher. The Holy Spirit comes behind it and now gives the hearer an understanding of God's word. Do you follow what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit does something that is also unique. He not only gives you an understanding of the word, but he gives you power to perform the word that you've just heard. Do you follow what I'm saying? So he gives understanding and power so that we can hear the word, have our faith be ignited, then we can understand the word, meaning knowing how to apply it to our lives. But then the Holy Spirit also now gives us the power to do it. That's why the word of God says, be not hearers only, but what? But be doers. Now, if he didn't give us the power to do it, it wouldn't be right for him to tell me to do it. Because I could always say, God, I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the power to do it. But he commands us to do it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit gives you power to perform. Do you follow what I'm saying? So we've heard the word and faith cometh by hearing. Now we've understood the word because the book says in all thy getting, get what? Get an understanding. And so two things happen when a believer hears and understands God's word. They confess and they worship. Matter of fact, those are the only two things a person can do when they hear the word, receive it by faith, get an understanding of the word, aided by the teaching of the preacher. Hey, and let me help you with this. Because the Holy Ghost is involved, your caliber of preacher doesn't matter. You can have a broken down preacher. Because the Holy Spirit is involved, and he's involved because of what? His word. He'll take whatever vessel God is using, regardless of how prolific or unprolific, and it is the Holy Spirit that gives an understanding. That's why the book says, the Spirit says, he that has an ear, let him hear. Not the preacher. What the Spirit saith to the church, right? Because the Spirit, he comes through the preacher with his word, connects with the Spirit that is in you and brings forth an understanding. Here's a suggestion for the new year, and this one's free. It's not even on my list. Find you a preacher. I don't care if you got a good preacher, a bad preacher, but get you a preacher, because the preacher's involved in the process, right? You need that preacher to explain it, but it is the work of the Holy Spirit that's going to cause you to understand it and then give you the power to do it. And then once this happens,
It causes the believer to confess. You go through and you read the rest of Nehemiah 8, 9, and 10. The more the believer hears about the holiness and the righteousness and the great mercies of God, as the believer begins to hear and understand the standard God has set and compares it to their own life and compares it to where they stand in relationship to God. Now I understand why the Roman writer said, all have sinned. Doesn't matter what angle you look at it from, but we have all sinned and have come short of the glory of God, the glory that is revealed by His Word. So we hear it, now we understand it, and now we get depressed by it, because reading the Word of God calls you to see God as being up here, and we're somewhere way down here. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story. I'm glad I got a preacher. If I didn't have a preacher, I'd be in trouble. But the preacher now reminds me out of the Word of God. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins that have been made known by the reading of the Word of God, if we just confess our sins, we have a God that is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I go from confession now into worship. God, through the blood of Jesus, He washes us, and we, by faith, worship Him, because the blood cleanses us from all our iniquities. The blood washes away our, what can wash away, God help me, away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So now I got to start my new year by worshiping God, because if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? Now Israel can say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side. Read more. Confess more. Worship more. Because if you're going to start the new year out right, here it is right here, I'm summing it up. To start out the new year, you need a new praise. Psalms 96 and 1 says this, sing unto the Lord. This is where I wish I had a real church. 2021, I've got to get my real church. Sing unto the Lord a new song. It's a new year. I'm going to start it out right. I'm going to fast more. I'm going to separate from this world's culture. I'm going to read His Word more often. I'm going to confess my sins more often. I'm going to worship more regularly, because New Year requires a new praise. I'm not going to praise Him like I did last year. Why? Because He's brought me too far. He's brought me through too many things. So in this new year,
I'm going to give God a new praise because he's done so much for me. A new year requires a new praise. Has he done anything? Has he brought you anywhere? If he has, give the Lord a new praise. I've got a new praise. 2021, I've got a new dance. 2021, I got a new testimony. 2021, I've got a new shout of victory. 2021, I'm gonna sing a new song because God has blessed me. A new song because God has kept me. A new song because God has brought me. Start the year with a fast. Start by recommitting yourself to separate from this world's culture. You want to have a good start to your new year? Stream less. Read more. 3 hours of just the Word of God. In this new environment where everything is virtual and we're online all the time, why not unhook 1 hour a day and just read from the book? You read Ezra and Nehemiah, all you hear, they just kept reading from the book. And the more they heard from the book, the more God blessed them. Why not confess your sins more in the coming year? Watch this. Not only confess your sins to God. Why not confess your sins one to another more often? Why not do that? Now I'm trying to help you get a good start in the new year. If you would reconcile and repair broken bridges. This is a tough time to live with our family because we can't leave. And if you're going to have any peace in your house, in 2021, you're going to have to confess your sins one to another more often. Wow, we got to live together. I don't mean just sleep under the same. We got to live. We eating breakfast together, lunch together, dinner together. We're watching Apple Plus together. 24 hours a day, we're together. And so if we don't start, so many relationships took a hit last year because the people weren't prepared to confess their sins one. Because we could always what? Go somewhere. I'll be back. I'm going on my boy's house. Well, I'm me and my girls hanging out. I'll be home when I get home. We always had it out. Some folks come to church to get an out. They don't really have a love for God. They have a hate for their companion. They have a dislike of their children. So they come to the church of God to get away from it.
I'm just giving you some suggestions for how to start the new year. Confess and then worship God more frequently. A lot of times we think of worshiping God and praising God. The image that comes to our mind is some type of fellowship in the house of God. But in this coming year, you're going to be in the house of God less than you've ever been before. They're not allowing us to come in the house of God. If you do come, you can only have 5%, 10%. So you've got to, in this new year, you've got to learn how to worship God wherever you are. In your home. For those of you going back to work on the job. Young adults going back to school, you got to learn how to worship. You're not going to get back to the house of God. You've got to learn how to worship God right where you are. And I'm telling you, if you do these things, you will have a happy new year. God bless you, Teller. The Lord love you.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 For those who are at home and those who are in the sanctuary, you got a good word. Amen. Amen. The Lord was speaking to us this morning as to how to get through this year. And if you've been watching this program online, you've been watching our services, or even if you just tuned in today and you're wondering, how do I develop that relationship with the Lord? How do I become saved? Amen. Amen. The word says, confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart. Amen. 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 And so what you would do is just acknowledge, Lord, I am a sinner. But I've heard your word today. I want to connect with you. I want to read your word. I want to understand your word so I can confess and worship. So what we ask that you would do is either through our website or calling the church's phone number that you would reach out to us. We will take you through the steps to seek salvation. But just remember, it comes from Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believest in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And we want to help you so that you can have a personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So you can click the contact us button on the church's website, which is www.taylorstabernacle.com. Did I have that correctly? Or you can call the phone number, 215-748-4578. Amen. And you leave a message and we will reach out to you. We will pray with you and we will show you God's word so that you can read it for yourself and confess and worship more. Amen. Amen. With that, I'm going to bring up Deacon Abrams, who's going to give us our announcements, and he's going to go through the offering. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you can give through one of three ways, including text to give, giving online through our website, and utilizing the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving, and then follow the directions. And to give by the U.S. Mail Service, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And those of us who are gathered together in the sanctuary, you will find two baskets near the side ramp, one for your tithes and offerings and the other for the preacher of the hour. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. And as always, thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And now our announcement. The pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us through the reopening of the church. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to worship from your home. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear in the sanctuary. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice, so please keep this in mind so you can plan your transportation accordingly. Friday night prayer and Bible study continues at 7:30 p.m. via the church conference line. The dial-in number is 775-799-9141. We are continuing our study of the Book of Lamentations. If you have a prayer request, please visit our website, www.taylortabernacle.com, and go to our prayer request page, or simply call our church at 215-748-4578 and leave a voicemail so that we can respond to you. Please remember to hit subscribe right there on your YouTube page, or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address, and we will add you to the list. And as always, thank you. And now I'll turn the service back over to our pastor, Elder Ford.
Should we all stand?
Thank God to all of you gathered here in the sanctuary. Thank God for all of you who are joining us online via Facebook or YouTube. Thank you for being a part of our ministry. Thank you for helping us start a new year. I want to say a special thank you to all those here that are serving. Thank you for your contributions weekly, every Sunday coming, serving to aid us getting our broadcasts on the air and following through with our commitment to preach the gospel. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for the privilege that is ours to huddle around the Word of God. We thank you for what you have done for us in these past few moments. Thank you how we feel encouraged, strengthened, and that we are inspired to live for you in the coming new year. So give us a blessing. Cause us to be a blessing, that your name might reap all of the glory and all of the praise. This we ask in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, Taylor. We'll see you on next Sunday.